Ivan, I remember as a kid, I remember the helmets all with the 100 sticker.
And wow, you're old.
The very next year was the first year I started following college football. I was all of 7 years old, but I remember the pictures from 1969.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to believe that now we're talking about the 150th anniversary of college football.
Yeah, you know, Johnny, it's been I've been working on this project for 3 years, and at ESPN exclusively on this project for the last year and a half. And it's been a huge undertaking, a whole lot of fun. But really, ESPN's relationship with college football is such that I felt like, and luckily people agreed with me in the company, that it was our responsibility to tell these stories. I mean, we have such a close relationship with the sport. We're identified with the sport. And to me, it's a great opportunity because people feel so passionately about college football, and to be able to go back and tell these stories that a lot of people today don't know. I'm a history geek anyway, and to be able to combine my love of history with my love of college football, this has been a lot of fun.
You know, you always hear expressions, what's going to happen in the next 50 years. And, you know, for me, I go back to that period. At the time, I was living in Birmingham. And certainly, it was a time where civil rights, those issues were still out there. And the fact that you were talking about the first African-American players at Alabama, for example, all that was transitioning from the 100th to the 101st, and now here we are, 150th. And the ironic part, too, I was just thinking about this, when you go back to Nick Saban, first as a player at Kent State and now as a coach at Alabama, basically we're talking about the start of that 50-year period.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, Nick was a player in 1969, and it's, if you think about where the sport was in 1969 and where it is now, the change has been incredible, both in terms of fan interest, the way the game is given to the fans. In terms of, in 1969, you got one game on a Saturday, maybe two if you were lucky. If you ask the biggest change in the last 50 years, it's been television. And everything that emanated from the Supreme Court case in 1984, which allowed, took the television rights away from the NCAA and gave them back to the schools. And that's the big reason that we get 35 or 40 games a Saturday now. Thank goodness.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because when I talk about those days, I remember whatever your favorite team is, if you were fortunate, you would see them five times over a two-year period of time, because
yeah,
you didn't have, like, you know, starting at 11 in the morning and going until late at night. You had a couple of choices maybe on a Saturday, and that's it. You didn't really have, you know, you talk about ESPN and highlights, you'd have to wait to Sunday morning for those, that great highlight show, and you'd have, like, maybe four games, and that's it.
ABC had a highlight show that Bill Fleming hosted on Sunday mornings. Notre Dame had its own highlight show that Lindsey Nelson hosted. I can't tell you how many people of our generation and a little older have said to me over the course of the last couple of years, I would run home from church to watch the Notre Dame highlights. And these are people, you know, in the Southeast, in Michigan, in California. I mean, that was – it helps explain to people why Notre Dame has had the hold it has had on the sport. Notre Dame was the first and only national team for the first 100 years of the game. And one of the things the Supreme Court case did, by putting everybody on television, made more national teams. Alabama's a national team now. Oklahoma's a national team. Ohio State. Notre Dame was the only one that had that niche for a long time.
Ivan Maisel joining us again. You know, I love history as far as college football and history in all sports for that matter. And it's interesting, I'll use the word, I love baseball. I love the NFL. That word love does not apply to college football because it's in a different category altogether. And that's just like this time of year with SEC Media Days, it just gets me all pumped up.
Well, I agree, and that's the passion that I think we're tapping into with this whole project. You know, we have more than 30 hours of original programming related to the history of the sport that we're getting ready to roll out next month. Three different series, two documentaries, a daily 60-second vignette called My Story, somebody looking right into the camera and telling you a story about them and college football for 60 seconds. They're funny, they're poignant. They're informative. They'll make you laugh, make you cry. I mean, it depends on what day. They're former players, coaches, writers, fans. So it's been a lot of fun the way we've structured the shows to try to cover as much of the game as we can. As 11 different themes will be explored by two of the series, the American game on Tuesday nights and the greatest on Thursday nights. Then the SEC Network will show the history of the SEC, the Saturdays in the South, 8 shows, 12 hours.
Wow.
8 90-minute shows, and they're terrific. I mean, the shows are all good, I think, if I'm probably not unbiased in this case, but I think the shows are really entertaining and informative.
You know, it's because of that love of college football history, it allows me to look at programs today that may not be meeting the expectations of the fans. And when I look at strong traditions, it's just like when Nebraska was going through its lull there, people think, well, Nebraska will never be that program to win a national title again. I disagree. You won't with that attitude. But it's just like a Tennessee, for example. Tennessee, I never imagined a day where Tennessee would be mediocre for such a long period of time. And there's programs nationally that, like a UCLA or Arizona State, and even Georgia for that matter, you know, I always have said I'm surprised they haven't won more of college football.
Well, it's funny how the same team sort of rise to the top, and it's not just in college football. It happens in every sport. You know, it's funny how the Yankees are consistently good. It's funny how the Celtics are consistently or more often than not good. They've had their mediocre times. But, you know, the Patriots, I mean, some people have a level of commitment and excellence, and it's more important, and they know how to do it. And I think college football lends itself to that. You know, USC, it's more important, and they have a richer tradition than the rest of the conference. You can say that about most schools in the SEC in terms of a rich history and tradition, but it's a little more so at Alabama, that the dry spells seem to have been shorter. Tennessee is a mystery. It's been a mystery. It's been a chocolate mess for a long time, but they feels like they're getting their
– I agree.
You know, they're getting it back together. You know, Lick, if you go back long enough in you know, in the SEC, I don't have to tell y'all. I mean, Vandy was the power under Coach McGugin.
Right.
And we, you know, that's a big chunk of the early shows of Saturdays in the South is about Coach McGugin and who he was and how good a program he developed.
Ivan Mizell joining us again. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that I've delved into as far as, you know, exploring college football history is, you know, that particular year's national champion and how that's evolved over the years. And I go back at a time when I was growing up, the fact that the two best teams didn't always meet on the field because of bowl affiliations and with the conferences. And then we get to the BCS where you'd have to, at least it was closer, and now we've got a four-team college football playoff. For me personally, I think it's a perfect number. But I had Bobby Bowden on last year and asking him about this because, you know, he won two national titles, but you had that 14-year stretch where they finished in the top five, and he would have had, doing the numbers, he would have had a chance to play for 9 total if we had a college football playoff. And so I asked him, I said, Bobby, I said, okay, so you've got your two national titles in your pocket. Would you give them back right now with the chance and opportunity to play for 9 with the college football playoff? He didn't even hesitate. He says, I'd give him back right now. He says, and he started laughing about it, but he didn't even hesitate.
Yeah, and it's fascinating as we look at that's a great example, Johnny. You know, my point is, you know, Nick Saban has won 6 under, most of them under these new rules.
Right.
And if you look at SC in the last decade, you know, they won 7 Pac-10 titles in a row. They only played for 3 titles, you know, but they were, by the end of the year, there were a couple of more they would have played for. And if they kept winning, if they had won 5 straight, you know, does Pete Carroll leave? Does the program, you know, what happens to that program? I mean, you start playing that what if in history, and that's, and it's a fascinating road to go down. In fact, one of the series of the greatest, one of the episodes of the greatest, is each week we're going to pick the greatest fill in the blank related to whatever the theme is of the show that week. the 11-week themes, or, you know, the culture of the game, the evolution of the game, the integration of the game, television, college-pro relationship, rivalries. Well, 1 week we look at what-ifs on the greatest. You know, what are the biggest, the greatest what-ifs in college football? And, you know, a lot of them pertain to coaches and where they are and what they would have done if.
Ivan, when we look at history, since we're talking about the 150th year of college football, you know, a lot of times we see change as far as the way national champions are determined, whatever the case may be, because somebody got their feelings hurt, somebody got left out of something. What do you feel like moving forward? I don't know if that's going to be the necessary thing that we see change as far as college football, whether we're going from 4 to 8 teams, for example, with the college football playoff. Do you feel like money is going to be the more determining factor as far as seeing future change in college football?
Of course, money's always driven everything. You know, certainly in college football, and if it's not driving it, it's driving whoever is driving whatever change we're talking about.
See, I mean, I always thought that they should do pay-per-view in those conferences, whether we're talking about men's basketball, trying to determine which teams make the tournament. I think when we're talking about the college football playoff committee, if they did pay-per-view where it was like the fly on the walls, I think that would be a great money a fundraiser right there.
That would be fun. They'd never do it, but they'd make a lot of money because I know at least the two of us would pay for that and probably a few more people.
Money,
of course, has driven the need for money in college sports is huge, and because football's paying the bills for everybody else. And, you know, an operation the size of an intercollegiate athletic department these days is a huge undertaking for the number of male and female college student athletes. And so that's what eventually led, I'm sure, to the 4-team playoff. I hope, I'm like you, I hope they keep it at 4. But eventually I assume, you know, they're going to go to 8 because they think they can make more money. I just worry that it would cannibalize what makes college football so much fun. You know, are we going to care the same week one that we now, if we go to 8, would we care as much about what happened in week one and week two? I don't know that we would.
Ivan, it's certainly, if we're talking about a team from the SEC in the college football playoff this year, it starts with, okay, Alabama, then probably Georgia, could be both again. If it's not those two, if this is a surprise team, who would it be?
Well, since you use the word surprise, I would surprise is tough. If it's a surprise, I'd say Tennessee. You know, but I think the amount of they came a long way last year from August to December or to November. They didn't make it to December, but I think they got a sense of what it takes will take to succeed. There's a little bit of flux in the East now, you know, not much, but, you know, Georgia's still the top, but I think there's some rumbling and there's room for somebody to move up and challenge Georgia.
And then if you look at the SEC West, a team that, you know, because of what happened last year, not a lot of huge expectations as far as the Auburn Tigers, but it's an odd year. If you go back the last 3 times in these odd years, going back to 2013, Auburn has knocked off Alabama. And so you won, and if you remember, so in 13 they played for a national championship and lost to Florida State. In 2017, they beat Alabama in control. A playoff spot was waiting for them, and they lose to Georgia in the rematch. So for me, if I had to pick one, it could be the Auburn Tigers again.
Well, the reason I hesitate, I mean, and this is no secret, Auburn's schedule is so daunting.
Oh, absolutely.
And they have no experience at quarterback. So that's a tough combination to overcome if you're talking about getting to the playoff. You know, we'll find out a lot about Auburn against Oregon. I think in terms of the early season games, that one fascinates me because both of those teams people think are on the rise. And, you know, I mean, the entire Pac-12 really needs Oregon to show well that first week. So there's a lot riding on that game for it to be in August.
Before we let you go, once again, remind everybody again the start and the celebration of the 150th year, everything to expect from ESPN.
Well, everything, gosh, that would take a long time. But I will say the content, the television content begins on Saturday the Saturday before Week Zero, Saturday, August 17th, with the debut of the 60-second vignettes, My Story. Week Zero is part of the 150 celebration, the Miami-Florida game on August 24th. Following that telecast on ESPN is the first documentary, Football Is Us, U.S. capitalized, Football Is Us, the college game. So it's a history of the game over 150 years. The three series roll out in September, begin rolling out in September. My podcast called Down and Distance start dropping August 20th, two a week for 4 weeks. There'll be stuff on game day, SportsCenter, ESPN.com, every platform.